Welcome to today's podcast, another installment in our continuing series of strategic planning topics for business owners. My name is Steve Young, and I lead a team that focuses on the unique wealth management needs of owners of closely held companies. Our goal is to help our clients identify their goals and objectives, evaluate opportunities and options, and help them make smart decisions about their business and their personal wealth as they run and operate their companies. In keeping with that theme, today I've asked a colleague and longtime friend, Matt Green, Senior Vice President of UBS Private Wealth Management, and also co-leader of a team that focuses on foundations and endowments, to join me today. We're going to be talking a little bit about how UBS approaches the foundations and endowment business. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you may be asking yourself, why are we going to be talking about foundations and endowments on a business strategy call? And I think that's a great question. We'll get into that in a lot more detail here shortly. But quite simply, most of our clients that go through a fairly significant liquidity event when they sell their company tend to be a little bit charitable and philanthropic with some of the proceeds. So I thought for today's show, we would talk a little bit about how UBS approaches the foundations and endowment business so you can get a better insight to see what would happen with those funds if you were to donate them or give them to a foundation or endowment to be managed. So with that, let me go ahead and introduce you to Matt Green. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure.
Glad to have you on today. Hey, before we get started, let me ask you to take a minute or two and just share a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this particular niche with UBS.
Sure. So from a background standpoint, see, now it's 27 years in the financial services business. So I grew up in Fort Wayne. I'm a native Hoosier. After graduating from Indiana University Bloomington, I started my career in the Chicago office at Goldman Sachs, then transitioned to J.P. Morgan's private bank, and that's where, you know, our paths crossed. And then while there, recognized that the best platform in this business to deliver the services and solutions that my clients needed and deserved was here at UBS. So we moved our team and client base and formed UBS's Loan Private Wealth Management team for Indiana. And that was in 2013, so 8 to 10 years ago now. And that's proven to be a great decision that has benefited our clients as well as our team. And as you stated in your introduction, one of our core businesses focuses on managing the endowments for small and medium-sized foundations and endowments. And we would say that those endowments range in size from anywhere from a few million dollars upwards to $50 to $100 million.
So Matt, I've known you for a long time, and we, as you mentioned, we both crossed paths over J.P. Morgan a number of years ago. And coming to UBS, obviously there was an attraction for me to bring my business to UBS and the clients that I work with. But foundations and endowments are a little bit different, right? They're a little bit different than the general wealth management that we do on our team. Share a little bit about how you got interested in foundations and endowments, and why did you decide that that was the niche that you wanted to focus in on?
Yeah. So first off, I'd say it's very rewarding to work with mission-driven organizations, you know, to be a part of helping them achieve and broaden out their mission, even in a small way. Whatever that mission may be is quite fulfilling to me and my team. So we really wanted to continue to be intentional about how we approach our business over the past 10 years or so, and then on a going forward basis. And endowments and foundations is our preferred focus at this point. So, and then secondly, when we started managing and working with those organizations, the small to mid-sized endowments and foundations, we found that there's just a lot of need there. You know, these are resource-constrained organizations doing a lot of good things, and they're often have very small staffs and tight budgets, shoestring budgets. And so we really like being able to wrap our arms around them and function as a smart resource that they can tap into.
Well, I know you guys do a great job for your clients. We've had a chance to work on a few opportunities together in the past, and most recently, one just not too long ago. Talk a little bit about what are the key elements that set you apart from other managers or advisors in this space?
Yeah. I'd say what sets us apart, Steve, is our experience and expertise. You know, our team is now managing over 40 different endowment portfolios here in central Indiana. So we really understand their needs. And all too often, we see organizations of the size that we specialize in being managed by advisors or advisory firms that basically just moonlight in the business. It's not their focus. So it just kind of gets back to that old concept of specialist versus generalist. So as a specialist, you know, we feel strongly we can get better outcomes from both an investment standpoint and in being a broader resource for the board and the staff when it comes to, you know, non-investment issues. A great example of that type of work that we do with our nonprofit clients is working with their individual donors and prospective donors. So we step into that role for them, and we can help guide those donors to the right charitable vehicle for their gift or optimal gifting strategy that maximizes the tax efficiency of that said gift or potential gift. So in this way, we don't just manage their endowment, but we tell them we're going to help you grow it through the gifting strategies that we can employ for you as well.
I think that's very powerful and certainly impactful when you're talking to foundations about growing their base. And that's, I'm sure, a key element. I know that the deals we worked on together, that was an important consideration as well.
I agree.
So obviously expertise, yourself and your teammates and Chad McCullough, who we've worked with in the past as well. You guys run the organization, the team collectively and have different functions in implementing your strategy. But the other key element for your success is the UBS platform, I would imagine. So can you speak a little bit about that and how that separates you from your competition?
Yeah, it's very, very important. I mentioned that moonlighting concept. I'll probably come back to that more in this conversation, but UBS as a firm is one of the largest money managers for nonprofits in our business. And, you know, again, so not just our team here locally in Central Indiana, but also the firm's focus, one of the core business focuses they have is working with nonprofit organizations. So, you know, we're not moonlighting in it. The firm's not moonlighting in it. So when you come at it from that standpoint, the depth of resources that our team can tap into and bring to bear on our clients that UBS's platform provides us is a true differentiator, and it's unique in our business.
That's definitely a key consideration. So Matt, let's switch gears for a minute. Let's talk about active versus passive management. Your team employs a special process for actively managing your client's portfolio known as the dynamic asset allocation model. Can you explain what that is and how you implement that for your clients?
Yeah, so nonprofits have a tremendous investment advantage over most investors. And what I mean by that is that these organizations don't pay capital gains taxes. So really, when you think about it from that perspective, why employ an investment strategy that doesn't exploit that huge investment advantage that these organizations possess? And so when we're working with the groups that we work with, you know, this dynamic asset allocation strategy that we employ, and there's a lot of facets to it that probably aren't appropriate for the scope of this call, but it represents the best thinking about how nonprofits should be managed today. And you know, it capitalizes on then, you know, what I'm talking about here is the organization's huge advantage they have in not paying taxes and what most advisors miss that moonlight in this space. And so specifically, there is a tool that we utilize at UBS. It's a proprietary UBS service. It's called the World Equity Market Model. It's an algorithm, and it's the backbone of our investment management process. Put very simply, Steve, it produces signals that detect the current risk level of the stock market. And so we use that signal that this world equity market model produces to take advantage of when it is telling us there's a low risk environment, we're going to add stock exposure significantly for our nonprofits right to the edge of what their asset allocation guidelines say that we can have in terms of exposure and with stocks. And then on the flip side of that, if our signal is suggesting, hey, now is a high risk time for stocks, we go ahead and actively reduce our stock exposure in our clients' portfolios by adding, you know, long-term treasury bonds from the US Treasury bonds, which are the, you know, best overall hedge to a declining equity market. And so what this tool does for us in making bigger, more dynamic moves and shifts between stocks and bonds takes advantage of the fact that they don't have to pay capital gains taxes when we make those shifts. It's a huge advantage that a taxable investor just simply couldn't employ in their portfolio because a big shift between stocks and bonds, so a sale of stocks and a purchase of bonds or vice versa, would trigger capital gains in such a way that it would nullify any value that that shift actually makes for the client. But a nonprofit organization does not have to pay that tax. So that is a tool that if these organizations aren't utilizing in a sophisticated, consistent way like we do with the World Equity Market Model Signal algorithm, then they're really putting themselves at a disadvantage and leaving just basically return on the table.
So in addition to the techniques and the strategies and the modeling and yourself and your teammates, another huge differentiator that you have is a special credential. And not very many people have this credential, and that is the institutional consultants credential. Can you talk a little bit about how that is important and why an endowment or foundation should be looking for somebody with that credential as part of their advisory team?
Yeah, it's a really strong point. I'm glad you brought it up, which is that, you know, it goes back to the specialist versus generalist, right? So unfortunately, again, in the small to medium-sized nonprofit space, you have a lot of advisors and advisory firms that just don't specialize in nonprofit management. They moonlight in it. So it's not a focus. It's, you know, their focus might be individual investors, families, things along those lines. And so then, you know, through a random or, you know, connection that they may have to the organization, maybe to the board, to a board member, or maybe they actually are a member of that organization and they happen to be a financial advisor, they end up, you know, with the responsibility of managing the endowment for that group. And that's really putting that organization at a disadvantage. So UBS recognized this and put together their institutional consulting group program. And I am a member of that program. And specifically, I have a credential called the Endowment and Foundation Consultant designation. And so that's a firm designation that recognizes my team's expertise and experience in working with endowments and foundations. And then additionally, the firm, once you have a specific amount of client relationships and experience in terms of just number of years that you've been, you know, working with those clients, they put you through a credentialing program that broadens and builds upon, you know, the knowledge that you've accrued up to that point so that you can function as a true expert, a true specialist in the space. So not just, you know, an expert in managing money for nonprofits, but also in helping them do lots of different things that are associated with managing the endowment, but are more non-financial. And those would be, Steve, things like developing investment policy statements, developing asset allocation guidelines, spending policies, sharing the fiduciary status with the board, you know, and so basically, you know, just become a real true resource to these organizations and the boards that run them in every aspect they need assistance in financially.
So Matt, you've been both on the personal wealth management side of the business and now on the foundations and endowment side of it as well. And I know you still are involved in the personal side with some of your more wealthier clients, but talk a little bit about the similarities between the two types of practices.
Yeah, sure, certainly. So many of the resources that nonprofits require are suitable for individual and family investors as well, right? So things that you bring to bear on your business owner clients, right? So firm-driven research around investments, wealth projection tools. I know this is a big one for you, cash flow analysis, right? Particularly when it comes to budgeting and things along those lines. And so, and both of us, I know, serve as fiduciaries for our clients, me for the nonprofits and you in an advisory capacity for your business owner clients. So, you know, those are all the similarities, but I'd say, you know, I'd highlight two big differences. And I've talked a little bit about taxation as one, but then the other one is timelines, right? So, you know, your clients generally have an endpoint in their timelines, whether that's their, you know, business transaction, maybe they're selling their business, you know, that's one point in the timelines you have to manage around. Then it's retirement and end of life. Well, as nonprofits, they're managed usually in perpetuity, you know, or for the asset base to basically last forever. You know, so taxation and timelines are just huge factors in how nonprofits' money should be managed. And generally, we see this done really well for for individual families. And I know like how you manage your clients, but unfortunately, when we come across endowments and foundations, those aspects are managed very poorly, even to this day.
Matt, with that, I'd like to say we're getting close to our time limit here, and I want to wrap up here shortly. But before I do, is there any last minute considerations you may want to share with our listeners, especially business owners that may be thinking about including some type of philanthropic or charitable gift as part of their overall plan? Is there anything specific that you would advise them to think about or take action to do as they're going through this process?
Well, I guess, Steve, I would just say that the nonprofits that we work have volunteer-led boards, and then many of our individual clients sit on the boards of these organizations and other organizations that we don't work with. And so it wouldn't be surprised to me if some of your listeners have those same affiliations. And, you know, one aspect that we're seeing right now with, so there's some scrutiny on these nonprofits in terms of a fiduciary status of the board members. And, you know, said another way, these organizations, you know, the fiduciary status is, you know, are they being run and governed to current best practices? And, you know, one piece of advice, I'll end on this, that we always give is to make sure every 3 to 5 years, our nonprofit boards issue an RFP or a request for proposal. And, you know, you can send those to groups like ours, other advisory teams that have exposure to nonprofits, inviting them to answer the questions pertinent to the management of their endowment. And they should do this even if they have no intention of replacing their current investment advisor. Obviously document it, and perhaps even hold a presentation session for 2 or 3 of the providers that scored the best, just to ensure, like I said, again, for purposes of satisfying your fiduciary duty, that the best practices in endowment and foundation management are being followed. And I would offer up that if any of your listeners would like a template, I know that you can provide them. I'd be happy to provide you one, Steve, that you could forward to them of some RFPs that might make sense. That is an area of scrutiny that we're seeing nonprofits under currently. And I think that's something that your clients should bear in mind.
Oh, that's great information, Matt. I appreciate it. And with that, I think we're going to wrap it up this afternoon. I want to thank everybody that tuned in and listened to this podcast this afternoon. Matt, I want to thank you as well for taking time to join us today. This is really great information. And as Matt said, if you have any questions about any of the information that we talked about today, anything that may have caused you to take pause and think, well, it's really something I'd be more interested in learning about, or if you're affiliated with a board, an endowment or foundation, and would like to have Matt and his team come in and talk to you about how they do business and some of the things we talked about today about how they're different from the competition that's out there, I would certainly encourage you to reach out to me. You can always reach me by phone at 317-816-1830 or by email. My email address is Stephen with a V, stephen.young@ubs.com. And with that, Matt, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for tuning in and have a great day.